listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 10th. My name is Michael Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here. We had a little glitch before the program, if people are wondering what the chuckle was about.
They would never have known. Nobody would ever have known. But this is why we're looking for new software. And it's coming along. We're going to get there. But
yeah, we will.
But thank you for joining us. And the Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now for tonight, we are going to be exploring perceptions of reality, and really, what is more metaphysical than talking about perceptions of reality and awareness? And Dr. Hunter, I think you have a very interesting kind of story to get us started.
Yeah, to get us started, Michael, this is, I like this conversation because it really, as Dr. Kelly would say, gets you thinking. When I was a very young...
All right, we're going to fix all of this in editing, but... Nobody will ever know. Again, we lost our connection for just a moment, but we appear to be live and broadcasting again. So I hope you all can hear us. And Dr.
We're
Hunter,
back.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I know you were right in the middle of a great story. But
well, it was a Tuesday night discussion, and honestly, I am talking back in the 70s.
Dr. Hunter, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I know you were
Tuesday
right
night
in the middle
discussions
of a great story,
and our
but...
metaphysical teacher slash hypnosis teacher friend would make comments like, well, that's a perception of reality, or it's real if you want it to be, or if you don't like the God you have, fire him and hire a new one. You know, I mean, he'd make these one-liners, and I was very curious about it because I honestly thought our reality was the only reality. And, you know, it's like, that's what's real to you when you're young and you haven't thought about it, you know, and for that matter, even if you're older and never thought about different perceptions or how different people view the world and how they view life. So I really had to struggle with that, not just on and we'll get to the metaphysical part later, but for that moment and for years after, is really seeing the world through other people's eyes. And what is their perception of reality? What is real? And what Frank would also say is that there are very few things in your lifetime that you'll ever encounter that are facts. And he said, we're on Earth, and the moon is rotating around, and we have a sun, and we're in this galaxy. Those are the only facts. Everything else is an opinion. So again, that really would shake my brain up. I was young, trying to figure things out. Like, what is it? It's what is reality, except your opinion of what is reality. And so that's how, really, tonight I wanted to get us started, get us launched into this conversation about life is whatever you see it to be. And it sounds a very cliche new world kind of thing to say, but well, it's fundamentally truthful.
You know, it is. It's true. And sometimes cliches are cliches because of how true they are.
Exactly.
It's been a favorite quote of mine, and honestly, I don't know who said it. When I was in school, it was attributed to Plato, but I don't know. I've never been able to verify that anywhere than my teacher's blackboard. But it's just the saying that we are not affected by reality, but by our perceptions of it. And that, you know, ain't that the truth? You control a lot of your reality by how you perceive it and how you choose to perceive it. And I often think about how important our inner monologue, our inner dialogue is to our perception of reality. And that is one thing we do have control over. How do we talk to ourselves? What kind of words are we using with ourselves when we, you know, have that inner monologue, when we're thinking about something? And realizing that we do have a certain power to control how we behave and react to a situation, to control our path of thinking. Go ahead.
Exactly. I think even at a microcosm level, like let's say being totally narcissistic right now, how do I perceive myself? How do I know my body? How do I know my own experiences from the inside out? Not just by how I think, but how my body is operating. Very often, I think I'm going through life and I'm fine, but I've been through some shifts and I get on the scale and I gain 5 pounds. Now, how did that happen? You know, because I'm feeling fine. Other days, you know, everybody's got a fat day. Oh, man, I feel so groggy and everything, and I lost 5 pounds. So, I mean, that's where it's what is my perception of how I feel versus, you know, also what could really be going on, and it's kind of distorted. Something gets a little twisted up. So what is real? So, again, I'm being very, you know, when you get really personal about it, you know, your reality in who and what you are. And then there's that, okay, where am I living? How do I perceive things? How am I looking out? But for me, I've also got, you know, dead people talking in my head all the time. And sometimes it gets so loud. Sometimes it gets so loud, I have to kind of do some filtering to know if I'm with other people, which doesn't happen very often anymore because of COVID, but when I'm with other people, am I really hearing something they said, or am I hearing a voice in my head because I'm hearing what they're thinking, you know? So there's all these other really bonkers kinds of things that go on. But really at the macrocosm, then you got people living in all parts of the earth and the world. Some people are in outer space now. You know, we got things going on. It's wherever you are, and what you see is your reality. If I'm at a beach, that's my reality. If I'm in the mountains, that's my reality. But what about people who have never actually lived in a house? And yes, they still exist. People who, you know, are in refugee camps, that's their reality. You know, and anything beyond that. So it's those. So at a very fundamental level, like very personalized, versus something about how we perceive world, the world around us is, and how we exist within that world. So it gets, there's so many levels, you know. So Dr. Stephen is saying in the chat, you know, he says, so does reality equal experience? Well, absolutely. It's how you are processed, how you've been conditioned, you know, it's...
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
In what you believe. And the more you believe something, the more you see it.
And there's a lot of variables that go into our perceptions of reality and our awareness and our experiences are the external stimuli, but there are other variables that go into it. We all have predispositions towards certain behaviors in one way. We're self-aware and we do have free will, so we have choices that we make in how we react to those experiences, that external stimuli from the world around us. And there's so much more that goes into it. But, I mean, who are we but not a collection of our memories and, you know, our failures and successes? And that shapes our reality in a lot of ways, too.
Well, there, and yet maybe your failures are your successes.
Because
you've had a learning that somebody else who just leaps forward and they've got everything seemingly that they want, you know, it's, they don't have the same life lessons, you know, so it's, it does all kind of balance out in the end, really. But, I mean, it again is that perception. It's, Michael G in the chat says, I often feel angry that I don't have things I want and get to do other stuff, but then I look at my home, my car, phone, TV, internet, pets, and family, and I'm blessed, and to others, I'm rich. Now you see, that's a perception of reality. Exactly. See, so it's, if, especially nowadays in our westernized, I'm going to say, you know, North American kind of perception, we buy into these myths of what life is supposed to be and what we're supposed to have entitled. But there's a lot of people suffering, right? So it's, it's our perception then. If you do well, you'll have more. And then there's a common belief system in our culture that those poor people, they just didn't work hard enough. See? So I'm doing really well. I've got everything I want. I know what success is. So then we'd start doing these comparisons. And the problem with our different perceptions of reality is that we can tend to compete to prove who is more accurate than somebody else because we want control, right?
Yeah.
So that's a trippy part of perceptions of reality too.
Oh, absolutely. The, you know, the desire for control does have such an impact on our perception of reality because we twist our reality to a narrative that gives us a feeling of control. Hence, you know, dogmatic religion. It's great to feel like you have all the answers. Oh, that is such a great feeling. And that need to have control or to have an understanding of your situation to know that if I do X, Y, and Z, I'm going to get to heaven. And that's the rule. That brings a great sense of comfort. So the need for control over your situation in your life directly affects your perception through willful ignorance sometimes. And, you know, the secondary benefits you get from believing in something without a firm basis. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that there isn't a, you know, it's unverifiable. So, of course, there could be a heaven. Absolutely. And I would like to think if there is, then moral people and people who try to do their best and try to be good people would end up there regardless of whether they actually heard the message of Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm thinking all the people that existed in, you know, the BCE period, all those billions that came and went. But, but again, so you can see how that need for comfort and for a desire to control the world around you or to have a feeling of control at least drives your perception of reality. I think that was a great point.
You know, Dr. Stephen says what we're talking about sounds like a capitalist cop-out, and capitalism contains planned poverty for the most of the world. And I think we can go back even further before capitalism, to be honest, that, you know, the times of kings and queens and chop off their head relied on slavery. It's been around forever. And do my bidding because I'm more important. And, of course, they're all self-elected important, right? And it's an interesting kind of card that we've dealt ourselves on the planet and in humanity. And the evolution of that, of course, became, you know, it evolved. But still that power struggle is still very real, which, again, we think, well, that's just what's reality. That's Earth's reality. But people created that reality. They created that perception. So that's an important part to note, that just because it is doesn't mean it's real or has to be real.
Right. And that's such a powerful statement and a powerful thought, because a lot of our perceptions we kind of inherit from society around us, and we have to stop and ask ourselves, where did that originate? What is its validity? Does it have a reasonable basis? Or is it just something that enough people started doing that it became the thing to do, or the way to think, the way to behave, the way to perceive the world?
One of the things that when I had my grandkids a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about little things like, who said that's cool? Like, who decided that? You know, when people follow trends and peer pressure.
Well, who decided that cool was the thing to say when something's cool?
Exactly. Now, I realized I've been doing a lot of thinking about it since then. And I guess I just had the kind of mind, that, and I was obnoxious enough of a child, that I would ask a lot of questions because I wanted to know why to everything.
Oh, yeah.
And actually an old school chum reminded me of that a couple of years ago. But and that's kind of why I got kicked out of the church to begin with, teaching Sunday school, because I said, who decided Jesus looked like that? You know, ooh, yours is not to question. I said, but I have questions.
You know,
he shouldn't be white.
And that's just something that humans have always done. If you go around the world, like, for example, in Europe, Jesus is white. I would think that, yeah, I think in, and don't quote me on this, take this with a huge grain of salt, everybody, and feel free to use your Google power. But if I recall, I think the Ethiopians were one of the earliest, you know, Christian societies, and I think they have a different view of Jesus.
They sure do.
I thought so.
Michael.
And it's interesting also when you look at statues of the Buddha. If you look at him in India, he looks a certain way. If you look at him in Japan, he's Japanese. And it's just an interesting way we need to relate. And so culturally we, you know, adapt these despite whatever historical accuracy there is. So we
but
know
it may
that
not be real at all.
It might not. It's something that's a fiction created to try to, I think, relay something else or connect people with an idea of a person. And it's not necessarily the truth, though. God, obviously, if Jesus were to have existed as a human being or a living thing at the time that he would have been, you know, very much Middle Eastern. He would have been, you know, dark skin. He would have had short cropped hair. They had a wonderful piece on this about how humans looked, behaved, and acted at that period of time based on skeletal remains and archaeological records. And, you know, he probably would have been a little short. He would have had a close-trimmed beard and close-cropped hair for different, you know, pests and things like that. Dark skin, you know, olive complexion, dark, you know, definitely, you know, more of the Middle Eastern complexion.
Absolutely.
And
It's Dr. Stephen has just said everything manifested in our own image, so people just say, nah, I want him to be this.
Well, and think about if that, you know, more realistic vision of what he would have looked like had held true, would that shape people's perceptions? Would we perhaps not be so afraid of the other? If in Europe you would have a Middle Eastern man as your, you know, living God, so to speak, would that perhaps have changed your perceptions towards people of that area? And I think the manifesting these, as Dr. Stephen said, manifesting these, being, you know, icons in our own image, it's kind of furthers the tribalism a bit, doesn't it?
And that, it does.
And that, of course, affects our perceptions of reality because it makes it a tribal world. We make the world we want to live in collectively, and we have. And the world that we live in is by the choices we've made.
Exactly. So those perceptions of reality, and it's a very subjective experience. It's whatever you perceive it to be. And finding these days, and I've had a couple of conversations about this with people lately, about what is the collective reality, you know? And I can honestly say I felt we were a little more comfortable a few decades ago when we were in a more collective kind of acceptance culturally. Certainly the world is different everywhere. In those ways, that hasn't changed. But it was more common for families to always be together on Sunday dinners, you know, or we had, I think, a little different kind of an order where we could all kind of collectively agree, you know, on something. And it's very hard to agree on anything now. It's all very, very different. So my trip is that I say I like my reality. You know, when Harry Potter came out, oh, I was in heaven. You know, it's this magical world. And yes, I can adapt and navigate to this world, but I don't take it to heart. This is the biggest point that I want to get across tonight to everybody is don't take life and your experiences to heart. Don't take them personally, because we're just navigating through all these various perceptions and opinions, and you know, everybody kind of in it for themselves, and you're just doing your best.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if the nine principles belief is a great guideline, and that's why I love them so much. But if you're a good human being and making yourself useful in the world, because I think that's really important, and that you're of value to yourself and others, even if it's in some small way, you're doing a good job. You know, when we are making progress, you want to get involved in things, you want to, you know, continue to improve yourself and the world, that you keep pushing forward in that, investing that kind of energy. But don't take things, you know, to heart. And in other words, nobody did you a wrong turn. You know, somebody isn't waking up in the morning trying to make your life miserable, those kinds of things. And it's
are you
it's
sure? Just,
oh, well, sometimes I wonder. Some people have bosses who do that. I don't know. But, I mean, it's really about doing your very best to the best of your ability. Mm-hmm. But knowing also, as metaphysicians, and this is where I'd like to shift, if I may, the subject over a bit, that as metaphysicians, we know that life, at least we believe, I'm comfortable to say that, that there are many realities of existence going on simultaneous to the one that we're on now.
There are other worlds than these.
There are other worlds than these. And that's why even as, for me, again speaking personally as a child, that was my normal. And it was more of a shock for me being, you know, coming around to the age of marginalization, I think around 5, 6, 7, for me at that time was, oh, you don't hear people in your head? You know? And I had to learn not to because, oh, you think that's a mental illness? I grew comfortable with it. And I was okay with that, but still managing to get along in the world. And, you know, finding the disciplines for, like doing readings for people and such, where I could channel that kind of an energy. And, of course, learn all the other rules in life that goes with having that sense of other realities. And that
there
are other dimensions of beings that we coexist with, although many are not conscious of that. So that's, you know, again, how it's not an easy one. If I'm the only one in the room hearing the dead people, well, it's like, okay, well, everybody's got to be quiet for a minute.
Yeah, it's got to be complicating. You know, having that kind of experience. But at the same time, I do envy you, you know, the doors of mystery that this opens, you know. It is an interesting way to be able to perceive the world.
Well, again, that's, I think, and they're just asking questions. It was never my thing to want to hold on really tight to a belief system, because I was always learning. And as long as I'm learning, then that's a good thing. And my late teacher, Magda, before she passed, she said, I've done all I can do here, but I've given you the keys to all the questions, and you'll have more questions answered that I didn't have time for. And that really embedded into my brain. It's always about asking questions. So it's I have my opinions of things, but, you know, there could be way more than I know, but I'm comfortable with this today. You know, as I've said before, is reincarnation maybe just some weird perception that we justify to explain multiple dimensions happening simultaneously? That could be, but I'm comfortable with the reincarnation, you know, and I think that if we think of things in the past that have happened and we expand our thinking, people can come back from the future too. And well, of course, then people go, what? But it's a perception, right? And to be open-minded. And that's why I say if you keep asking questions, you will then be more sensitive and compassionate to the human experience, which is so critical. We're just human beings trying to get through. Some people are a little more frustrating than others. No question. We can be frustrating. Frustrating to ourselves when we don't understand ourselves. But we are all in this together. So to have compassion for yourself as well as others. And don't take it personally, because it's just one perception of reality.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember feeling so constrained by having just one perception of reality that I wouldn't be able to see the totality of things, because I can only see from my perspective. Mm-hmm. How can I understand something fully if I can only see it from my perspective? You have to have multiple angles to kind of get a grasp on things. And therein lies the power of humanity. We can come together and share our perspectives, share our ideas. You know, diversity is not a mistake. It is I have to have the card in front of me to remember it exactly, but it is desirable. It is, you know, the product of evolution. Diversity is wonderful, and it brings new ideas that we, from our perspective, would not have seen.
Yeah.
And this expands our worldview. And we share our perspectives with others, and it expands someone else's worldview in that way. We are in this together, and we will evolve together.
And so there is one thread that binds us all. We just can't often nail it in one word, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Stephen is saying another option is to withdraw from society, and his COVID isolation sure feels this way. Look, I first of all, I want to preface what I'm going to say with this has been a devastating experience for millions and millions and millions of people, no question. The silver lining, I believe, is to really teach us who we are, and who we are as individuals and as a collective, and how will we be when the chips are down.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have to isolate and be on your own. Hey, look, I'm the first one to say that I'm used to being on my own. And, you know, I've lived in the bush for years. I'm now in town, but I can be weeks and not go out. And I'm good with that, because especially as a writer, I can be lost in projects for however long. But even for me, there I have to remind myself, oh, I can't do that when I want to. Oh, you see, there, and I see my own indulgences, all the things that I have privileged myself with to be able to go out and shop when I feel like it, or, you know, visit friends or have lunch and do things when I want to. And it's a very selfish way of living. And so I've had to see that in myself. And okay, you know, but that learning about who you are is a really good thing. Who are we? And now we're seeing who are we as a collective. And I think that when that happens, we really do see the divisions. When we try to operate collectively, we see that, ooh, there's more than one skin on this apple, you know, kind of thing. Yeah, okay. This is an interesting trip. So,
yeah.
Anyway, if anybody would like any cards, now's the time to put your name in the chat.
Wow, it's that time already. You know, I had a thought that maybe we should pull cards early. I don't know. I think maybe we're wrapping up. But no, that was 10 minutes ago, and here we are. We've been able to have a great discussion, and really we could keep going with something as broad as this where we can delve into the nature of our reality. But when we pull these cards, that itself, you know, lends a nature of perception to our reality because it frames things that we're thinking about. And of course, you know, when I pull a card and, you know, perhaps there's something in the universe affecting the probability that's trying to send you a message, or maybe it's just something that'll make you think about your present circumstance in a new way, changing your perception of reality. And so tonight we're going to be drawing from our inner oracle cards. And then Dr. Hunter, you're going to be drawing a tarot card to pair with that.
I will.
And, we like to build a story on that. So I guess we're going to get started and let's see who we have first. Ione.
All right. Let's see what we got for him.
Wild card number 8, freedom. Great way to start. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Well, Ione, I got the 6 of spades in support of that. That's just saying that if you might be feeling a little bit of pressure, that you are getting to your destination. And it's reminding yourself that you are a free and sovereign being, even as you feel some of the pressure in life. And so even as we were having this discussion, you know, in this program tonight, we're not dismissing in any way that there are very basic realities that we all go through and that we're challenged with. And the freedom really comes from knowing who you are. And when you know who you are, you can anchor yourself in that and always come back to knowing who you are. So again, that 6 of spades, you might be feeling some challenges, but the destination is in sight. Whatever your goals were, you're getting there. You're inching along. Just, you know, again, apply who you are and don't adapt too much to other people. Mm-hmm. You know, we navigate through them, not become them.
So absolutely. Great. Great message.
Michael G is next. Mike.
All right. And I have number 44, attitude and disposition.
Okay.
Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive. Ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
Well, 2 flipped out at the same time, Michael.
Love when that happens.
Tell you both of them. You know, the first one being Ace of Diamonds and the Star. So whatever's going on with you right now, it's a really good time to think big, wish big, and go big. I'm naturally a little bit of a risk taker, you know, so I don't know how much of a risk taker you are, but I would say go all in. So your attitude, your disposition, you know, really checking in with yourself, no holds barred. Go for it, because I see some really cool things ahead for you. So I want to say, too, that there's a turning point somewhere in the next week or so. So the caca is behind you. So you're going to do some really good things coming up here, Michael. Good.
All right. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. So I believe that we have Jamil next.
All right, Jamil.
Oh, another wild card. We have wild card number 1, paradox.
Isn't that interesting?
A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
Well, I just about jumped out of my skin because at the same time you said paradox, I drew the strength card. That's also in the major arcana. So, Jamil, there's something really interesting shifting in you, and it's you're gaining some inner certainty, inner knowing, inner strength, which is really cool. Perceptions of reality we were talking about, and life is often a paradox. So it doesn't necessarily mean you go in the way that everybody encourages you to and the ways you've been taught to. It might be that your reality is taking a different direction, and perhaps it is that you're wondering about that, questioning that, and it's to follow your own frequency, follow your own path. That's being true to who you are. And so I feel again for you, I'm getting this sense tonight about everybody, there's a shift happening. So I'll tell you about a dream when we're done here, but that I had.
Interesting.
Is that this is good for you. This is a really good time, Jamil, and there's a really good message here. So be true to yourself. You've got all the strength and you're gaining momentum. That's good.
Very good.
All right, we have Edward next. I'll save the dream from when we're done.
Oh, that's interesting. I've been putting the cards back in the deck and kind of shuffling them. And maybe I didn't shuffle them well enough. I don't know. But I came up on attitude and disposition again. So didn't expect that. But we already read that one. But we'll pair it with this next one, which is Empowerment number 9.
All right. For Edward.
Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Share the best of yourself and encouraging is serving the best to yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others. And doesn't that just pair beautifully with an attitude and disposition?
It sure does. Well, and so does this, another major arcana card, Temperance. There's a flow in that for you, Edward. That empowerment and the temperance is a consistent energy. You know, having regained the sense of your own attitudes, your own disposition, and empowering yourself, there's a new flow of life. Temperance often references like water. So think of yourself as like water flowing through the world, and you got this. And what I feel, I really want to say this to you, is I feel a good peace that comes with that. It's peaceful. And you've got this, you know, it's good. I don't know if you had to make peace with your life in some way or, acceptance, perhaps that's a word, but it's like making peace with it. So now you're in this new flow. Awesome.
All right. Well, good messages coming out tonight.
You know, we've had some really good feedback. Thank you, everybody. Ione is, she's got stuff going on and good offer came in and she said she's taking it. Michael G said he's, a lot's happening. He's making good decisions. So that's positive. And Jamil says it's a nice message for him and energy shifting and following his own path. Even Dr. Edward just said it makes him feel like he can empower himself to direct himself better in his life. So that's, well, that's very cool. Thank you for everybody for that.
Love hearing the feedback. Really love hearing how it connects with you. And it's nice to know that, you know, we're able to kind of share in that with you, offer a message that connects. Love to hear it.
Absolutely. All right. We have Jean. Nice to have you here, Jean. What do you got for Gene, Michael?
I have number 41, communication.
Good.
Let's see. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
Well, communication, Gene. I got the Queen of Diamonds. That's the Queen of Pentacles in tarot language, that you're taking charge. That, and whether it's those talks that you have with yourself, those talks that you have with others, you know, how you're communicating. There's your... Look, the Queen of Diamonds is somebody who's looking at some very fundamental things in their life. And she's a good seer, you know. She's got a good handle on this. Just able to dissect things and to be able to make good decisions for herself and move forward. Maybe there's some ideas you have to toss, some people you might have to toss. I know we don't like to hear that sometimes.
Sometimes you got to toss some people.
I'm sorry,
this has been the Mafia Spirit of Life program.
That's true. Sorry about that. I guess it was a bad term, terminology, but you know what I'm saying. You know where I'm going with this.
I know. I'm just playing around.
So communication and the Queen of Diamonds is a really powerful message in supporting you on your journey of things that you're doing next and decisions that you're making. So it's a really good reinforcement. I like it.
Good message.
All right. Audra.
I have number 18, evolution. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not. Personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
Well, two cards flipped out. I'm going to go with them, Audra. The first one that came out, the Jack of Spades, so that's the Knight of Swords. And the next one is the Six of Cups. Okay, so Six of Hearts. Evolution... With this, there's something, there might be something irritating in your family or extended family. So you're dealing with that, I think. That's what's coming to me. So it's managing a situation or someone who's kind of for a minute holding things up. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's holding you up. It just means it could be holding things up. It even comes to me that within the realm of your circle, it could be an employer, for that matter, you know. So it just someone or something. So it's about collecting the good people in your life, being with those good people, and being able to evolve with that. So focus on those good things, even though there's, you know, a couple of little frustrations. Focus on those good things, and you're guaranteed to continue to grow. So that's that message. Cool.
All right, very cool.
It is cool. Now, I don't see any other names. Do you?
No, I
Did
don't.
Did I miss anybody?
And I do believe we have a dream coming to us.
Well, I'm back in my dreaming thing, guys. It's been a lot of busy nights. And, about a number of days ago, I had this dream. And somebody wouldn't let me into this room. And I said, yes, but I'm coming in for lunch. And they said, no, you can't come in for lunch. No. Okay. So I went away and I tried again the next day in this dream. And lights went out right away. And they said, no, it's not time yet. You can't come in yet. I said, well, what is this? And they said, a voice said, March 20th. So I had, mentioned it to somebody I know, and Sharon says, well, you know, March 20th is the equinox. It's the spring equinox, and all the planets are shifting and blah, blah. And I went, whoa, I think we're in for a bit of a turn of events. So as I was going through these cards tonight, I remembered that I think in some of the energy I'm getting from you folks, from all the people in the chat and pulling these cards, is that I think the next week, 10 days, are going to be interesting shifts. And I think that some good stuff is coming around. That doesn't mean that, you know, life isn't real, as we say about perceptions of reality. But
sometimes it's too real.
I think there's some reality shifting coming again, and an opening of consciousness again after this spring equinox. So that's my prediction from this dream. At least I'm taking it as a premonition.
Well, I'm going to hold you to that, but it's okay. Interesting. And, you know, frankly, I'm right there with you. We can all feel that change in the air, I think, at least I can. And I think that's just another sign that, you know, we are trending in different directions. And hopefully, I hope that you're absolutely right, that we're going to be trending towards good directions. But, you know, this has been a really interesting discussion. I have particularly enjoyed this one. And, you know, I've missed a few people that we've had. A couple of our regulars haven't been here. We'll have to look forward to seeing Wendy and seeing what she had cooking up next week. Mm-hmm. But, I'm glad for all of you joining us live, and thank you so much for the feedback. You know, it really is, lifted my spirits being able to come and talk with you all tonight and talk with you, Dr. Hunter.
And you, Michael.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But, well, any last thoughts before we kind of start wrapping up?
I would just like to remind everybody, don't take life personally. Mm. Don't take it personal.
True.
You know, everybody's just trying to get through it. If you feel like you're getting pushed around, it's on them. It's not on you. And remember that it is people that create reality and our own realities. And, you know, I very often hear people say, well, it's in the universe and the universe will figure it out. And, yeah, the universe is cause and effect. It's people creating that.
That's right.
Stay on your own frequency, and you start, you know, again, I think, intersecting with what's yours. So it's your own frequency, true to your own path. When you get off your path, it's, you know, that's when I think we start to get, you know, bumped around. But then, hey, look. Life will have its way with us anyhow.
Life's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, it will.
I'm going to change a little, you know, a well-known old phrase. I'm going to say, when humans make plans, the universe laughs.
That's true. There are cause and effects going on that we can't grasp at the moment.
So much truth.
I want to say that Dr. Stephen last week, I think, mentioned something about relationships, spirituality and relationships. Do I have that right, Dr. Stephen? Maybe mention it in the chat, and we'll talk about that next week if that works for everybody.
Yeah, I think you got me sold. And how'd you say that again?
I'm not sure. I'm hoping that Dr. Stephen will write something in there. I think it was relationships and spirituality and soulmates. That was, he says yes. I'll explain it because we're trying to figure it out.
We're going to call it relationships and spirituality. I think that flows.
That's a good one. All right. Yeah. We got a wide berth on that one. So good. Sounds
well,
good, Michael.
It's, again, been a great talk. You know, we kind of delved into the vast topic of perceptions of reality, which you can go any direction in. And, we had a good time with it. We explored the meanings of metaphysics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, next week we're going to continue on this metaphysical trend of relationships, and we're going to be able to go in terms of soulmates and relationships with one another as family, friends. And we're going to kind of delve into the spirituality of life around us. I'm looking forward to that. And the spirituality of relationships. Yeah, might switch it up there, Dr. Stephen, but swap the title.
I think Dr. Stephen nailed it, spirituality of relationships.
Absolutely.
Well, we can get into karma and everything then.
That's going to be a good one. So good one. Thank you for joining us, and I look forward to having you next week. You know, Same Spirit of Life time, same Spirit of Light channel. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.